Gracious Lord, we are grateful for your presence. We're grateful for the awareness that your presence is here with us. It's always around us. Just sometimes we don't recognize it. And so today we just want to say thank you because you helped us see a little bit better. You helped us sense it a little bit closer today, not even by our own doing, but just by the sheer move of your grace and your mercy. You allowed us to feel something, Lord, that maybe somebody hadn't felt in a long time, Lord, that you are very near, very close, very present. We can feel your loving arms wrapped around us right now, even as we worship, Heavenly Father, in this room where we are coming from so many different things and issues and stuff in our families and our jobs, and yet your presence rests here with us and invites us to give your name glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I pray that we would do that today, and with what little bit that we have to offer, we trust that you would receive it. You would receive it in the heaven of heavenlies, and that it bring glory to your name. In the strong, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everyone said amen. Amen, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Thank you, Brother Marvin and Sister Zandra, for that reflection of our Advent candle lighting. Y'all were preaching up there today. Y'all were preaching up there. I also want to thank Brother Marvin publicly for this stole today that is appropriate for this Advent season. He passed it on to me along with some other goodies that I can't wait to share with you all in the coming weeks and months as we join together in our public and corporate worship. I'm a little tongue-tied this morning because I got my son back here with me, my son Carter West. Yep, the college freshman has returned. Eli was with us in the morning service, son. He came to the 9 o'clock. He got up early this morning while you slept in, but that's all right. We're glad that he's here with us, right? And he been logging on and watching service every Sunday. No, I'm just not putting no pressure on him. I'm just kidding. He having a good time down there at Morehouse College, and we appreciate your prayers for him and our college students that are here and a part of Sanctuary Columbus Church. We are in a sermon series starting today through the Advent season. Now, Advent officially begins on December the 3rd because Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas. But December 3rd is the latest that Advent season can start. The earliest it would be able to start is November 26th, which would give us four full weeks of the Advent season. So we decided we're going to start Advent when we want to this year. We want four full weeks. Yes, we do. We want four full weeks. How about you? Yeah, that's right. And to help us orient our minds, bodies, and spirit around the theme, repeat the sounding joy, we've made available a devotional guide for all of you. You can grab this on your way out today. Inside this devotional guide is words of life story from members of Sanctuary Columbus Church. About 14 folks pulled together and shared stories, devotions, reflections on songs that we're going to be singing together. And so you can pick that up on your way out. You can practice some quiet time individually and independently, or you can do it as a small group. And for those of you who have little ones, you can actually do it with a family because they have family activities included as well in this devotional guide. I'm so proud and grateful for this. And if you would like to follow along online, there's a digital version on our Sanctuary Columbus Church webpage on the front page. If you prefer a digital version, and actually even if you do pick up a copy, the digital version has links to some of the songs, so you'll need to have access to the digital copy as well, even if you prefer a hand copy like myself. I've already started making notes and writing my journal notes here in the devotional. So praise God. Please take one of those on your way out. So we chose this theme, Repeat the Sounding Joy. It's a lyric from a very famous Christmas song. Anybody know the Christmas song? What, do anybody want to shout it out? Joy to the world. Man, y'all are so happy. Joy to the world. Okay, praise God. Yes, a very sad joy to the world, but there's other joyful joy to the world. Repeat the sounding joy. And in this season of Advent, It's also the Christmas season, and there are all kinds of Christmas songs. They go from, holy to unholy, this season of, you know what I'm talking about, Aubrey. In one voice, Aubrey, you'd be singing, "O Holy Night," and by the end of the night, you'd be singing to Cameron, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." That's how y'all do it in the Lawrence household, I know. On one voice, Papa John, you might be singing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and then by the end of the night in front of the fireplace, you'd be saying, "Santa Baby, slide on over here in front of the fireplace." The songs of Christmas in the Advent season, they range from the holy to the unholy. That's because saved and sanctified people love this season just as much as the folks who don't know what the season is about or who the season is for. We all love this season. But that's also why it's important for us to know the reason why we are gathering together in this Advent season of life. Why are we celebrating? Why are we singing together? Today we're going to be in Psalm 96. We're going to read it in its entirety. But before we stand together, let me show you a little bit about the Psalms. Psalms were written individually and independently of one another. They weren't all written at the same time nor by the same person. It was Jewish theologians from the time period of 500 BC to 78 AD who collected the Psalms, and there are more than the 150 Psalms, you know that. They put and they chose these 150 Psalms to put them together in one collection. Because all of the Psalms, called songs, were one-hit wonders. They were just one-hit wonders all by themselves. And then they put a greatest hit album together, John, and gave us the book of Psalms. Psalm 96, Bobby, falls in what they call the enthroned Psalms. These are the Psalms that speak of the sovereignty of God. From Psalm 93 to Psalm 100, they lift us up and point us in the direction of the goodness and greatness of God. And with that being said, I invite us, if you're able, to please stand with me as we read Psalm 96 in its entirety. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all peoples. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. He judges the peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord. The people said, let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. You may take your seats. Title of the message today, if you're wondering, is The Reason Why We Sing. The Reason Why We Sing. Did you notice as we read Psalm 96 that it is upbeat and positive from start to finish? It's all about singing and rejoicing. And not only should everybody sing and rejoice, but all the nations and all of creation, the earth, the mountains, the sea, the trees, everybody gets in on the singing celebration in Psalm 96. No one and nothing is left out. Yet there's a disconnect. Zach, when we read Psalm 96, sometimes what we see or what we hear is not what we experience. The psalmist is singing about something that may be altogether different from our reality, the reality that we live in a broken world and that we are affected by its brokenness and have become broken ourselves. Everyone is not rejoicing during the holiday season because everything is not as it should be. Holidays, they say, are called hard days. There are loved ones who should be here that are not here. There are relationships that should be together that are estranged. There are natural disasters and times when we should be coming together and rejoicing. There are cycles of violence that seem to stay on air every time we turn on the television or check our social media page. The earth is not only filled with joy, the earth is also filled with pain and suffering. The earth is not just filled with celebration. The earth is filled with grieving and groaning. So why? Why do we sing when we don't see the full picture of what we are singing about? Take this as an idea for today, that the reason we sing is to give glory to God until His glory is fully seen. The reason that we sing is to give glory to God until that glory is fully seen. You're taking notes, write this down. We sing because we believe that God is glorious. One of the most frequently issued commands in all of the Bible, Aaron, is sing to the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, some 300 instances refrain the call out to God's people, sing, sing, and I don't mean softly, sing loudly to the Lord. In Psalm 96, verse 1, it says this, three times, sing a new song, sing to the Lord, sing the whole earth. Over and over, the psalmist is telling and pointing our hearts in a direction that maybe we wouldn't normally like to go. Sing to the glory and the goodness of God. It's worth mentioning, Ben, that none of the 300 instances in the command of Scripture to sing mean that you need to do it on key. Let me just give you that. You don't have to be on key. Your tone can be off a little bit because the Lord loves a joyful, cheerful, loud making, and even off key singing somebody. Because the magic, if you will, is not in how well you can sing, it's what you bring to the song itself. Can you bring yourself? I said the reason we sing is because God is glorious. Everybody say glorious. 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 Now that word glory in the Bible means two things. First, it means that God is of ultimate importance. Glory means that God is of ultimate importance. Jason, the Hebrew word for glory is kavod, which means weighty or heavy. In this instance, it means that God is too heavy for us to grasp. God is too big for us to get our arms around by ourselves. God is too high for us to get over, too low for us to get under by ourselves, because God is greater than anything, and God is greater than me. To keep this as a reminder, Brother Conrad, the Bible reminds me that God doesn't need me to keep the world going. The Bible reminds me that God doesn't need me to solve the problems of the world. That everything depends on God and God working through us so that God can get the glory for the world that God envisions on earth. Because everything depends not on me, it depends on God. Compared to the weightiness of God, everything else is weightless. That means that everything else is a vapor. It is smoke. It is fluff. Your looks, as good as they are, Gregory, they are not good enough, my brother. They are fluff. As awesome as your job is, who can I pick on? Renee, as often as your job is, it is still incomparable to the glory and the weightiness of God. Your relationship status, your wish list that you got for Christmas this year, it is all weightless and fluff in comparison to the greatness and the glory of God. Compared to the glory of God, everything is gloryless. Only God is glory us. And if we make anything more important than God, what we are actually doing is putting our hope in those things that are not glorious at all. That in the end, they will leave us empty. In the end, they will leave us wanting, because what these things do is eventually fade away. And that leads us to the second thing about God's glory, is that God's glory is His dynamic brilliance. If you ever have an opportunity to buy a real diamond, I don't mean like Cracker Jack diamond, I don't mean Amazon diamond, I don't mean one of them diamonds that look like diamonds, I mean a real diamond, my brother. If you ever get a chance to buy a real diamond, you know that diamonds are judged by their brilliance, which refers to the amount of light that it reflects, the light that it takes in, and then the light that it gives right back out. Think about a diamond and the brilliance of a diamond like a window. Light comes into the window based on how the glass absorbs it. And if smudges are on the glass of the window, it will not be as brilliant of a light to come through. Not only will it not be as brilliant of a light to come through, you won't get the most accurate picture of the brilliance of that light. It's not until we clear that window, polish that diamond, cut it in the most dynamic way, that we will see the full brilliance of it. But God is brilliant in God's self. But what God does in this brilliance is that God shares this brilliance with all of His creation, so that we would reflect the same brilliance that is the dynamic and wonder and awe-inspiring, magnificent of who God is. If you want to see how brilliant God's glory is, then look no further than nature, because nature reflects the brilliance of God's beauty brilliantly. Look at verse 11. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. The psalmist is saying, let them be who they are. You don't get to control the fields. You don't get to control the trees. And you don't get to control the forest. Let them be who they are. And who they are, they naturally give their glory and their brilliance back to God. Nature knows something that our human minds struggle to embrace, that God is glorious and is worthy of our praise. And for the psalmist David, who penned this one-hit wonder, he wants us to know the wonder, the splendor, the brilliance of the world in which it was created to do, even you. One theologian said it like this, Sister Jackie, that the clam in the ocean worships God better than I do, because the clam is doing exactly what God made the clam to be. Whereas I struggle to be who God made me to be, the clam goes on to proclaim the glory of God just as a simple clam. People of God, we are called to reflect the brilliance of the glory of God in our being. But there's some smudges on us that don't reflect that brilliance as well as we claim. There's some smudges of sin that are on us. There's some smudges of disobedience that are on us. There's some smudges of false worship that are on us. There's some smudges of going in the wrong direction that are on us. And God is shining God's brilliance on us even more and more so that we might be cleaned up to show our most magnificent brilliance. We don't show God's glory in our lives. Verse 5 says, because we vacillate between worshiping God and worshiping idols. For all of God's people, for all the gods of the peoples, he says in verse 5, are worthless idols. So when we sing about the glory of God, we are actually resisting the temptations that idols try to give. We are resisting the temptation that the idols try to offer to us. When they try to grab our attention, we sing to the glory of God. When they try to grab our affections, we sing to the glory of God. And these idols of the hearts affect people who are not saved as well as they affect people who are saved. They are the things, the people, the places, the experiences that leave us wanting more, even after we've obtained the relationship status, the job status, the house status, the car status, the whatever status, the influence. Even after we've gotten it all, the idols say, you haven't got enough yet. So we sing to the glory of God to resist the idols that try to capture our hearts. Psalm 96 reminds us that it is God's ultimate importance and God's dynamic brilliance, which represents God's glory, that we are called to sing because it shapes us. It gives us a voice beyond the words even that we are able to speak. But this worship, this directional worship of the glory of God, is not just for us. Psalm 96 reminds us that we don't just sing a solo, we sing in a choir. It reminds us that we don't just sing by ourselves as much as you may not want anybody to hear you. You are reminded in Psalm 96 that you are called to sing with other people so that the glory of God may be revealed. We sing, you're taking notes, we sing because it encourages others to see the glory of God. When I was in high school at Mount Vernon High School in Alexandria, Virginia, I sang all 4 years in the concert choir. And our winter concerts were a highly anticipated event for the whole community because everyone knew the last song in the concert was going to be Handel's Messiah. Handel's Messiah, in particular, the Hallelujah chorus in Part 2, and he shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever, and he shall reign, and he shall reign. And yeah, it was beautiful, right? And what was the most spectacular part was not that our choir rehearsed it for months on end just for that one performance, but the choir director would come up, stand in the center of the stage, and tell everybody, which we all knew, we're going to sing Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus. And then Mrs. McConnell would invite up any alum from Mount Vernon High School, and especially the choir, to come up on stage and sing it with the choir. And the stage would be shoulder to shoulder, edge to edge, on the edge of the stage as more and more people just came to the front. And she lifted her hands and began to direct, and right on key, on note, we were singing and celebrating. It didn't matter if you graduated 5 years ago or 50 years ago. You knew the words to that song. They captured your heart. Handel composed Messiah in 24 days without getting much sleep or much food. And while he was writing the Hallelujah chorus, it said that a servant came and saw him with tears in his eyes. And Handel exclaimed, I saw all of heaven before me, and the great God himself seated on the throne with his company of angels. His glory shone in that room. And as Handel wrote those words, he wrote it not just for himself, but he wrote it for a great choir, one that we've been singing for hundreds of years. Just like Psalm 96:3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all people. And in verse 10, say, same things, shout it among the nations. The Lord reigns. The world is firmly established and it cannot be shaken. He judges the peoples fairly. That phrase, among the nations, means all of humanity. Sing to all of humanity, because singing is essential to the life that we are given. And when our songs sing, they testify that we are able to go through any hardship. We are able to go through any circumstance. We are able to go through any difficulty, because the glory of God is made even more perfect through my hardship and through my suffering. I don't have no witnesses out there today that know about this kind of glory. There's something about singing words that's different than just saying words. You know, every now and then I'll call my mom up and I will just, you know, leave a little voicemail, or if she happens to pick up the phone, and I'll just sing the words of that prophet Stevie Wonder. I just called to say I love you. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I just called to say how much I care. Oh, I do. Sing it, Tony. I just called to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Singing it sounds a lot different, Megan, than just getting a phone call that goes like this. Hey, Ma, I was just calling to say I love you. And I care about you, and all is good. So hit me back when you get a chance. It sounds different when it's just said versus then when it's sung. When it's sung, there's something that's mystical and magical that happens. On my wedding day, I had planned to sing to my bride as the doors were open and she stood there, and I had the live band start to play the music. And as they played the music, I sang to my bride as she came down the aisle. And little did I know that she had already arranged also with the band to play the song as she came down the aisle. So we thought we were surprising each other, and we both got. And as she came down the aisle and I'm singing the whole song and tears are flowing from my eyes, there was something special about what took place. I could witness glory in the room in my bride. And that is the expression of worship and glory that we are invited into with our relationship with God and as we sing to one another. Perhaps this is why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speak to one another in psalms. Speak to one another in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making music with your whole heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an invitation to corporate togetherness and corporate worship. Studies have shown and revealed that one of the benefits of singing together, whether we're in person or over the phone, is that it builds a togetherness between us, and the literal walls that are in between us begin to come down as we build trust with one another and love for one another and hope with and for one another. So when we come into this worship room on Sunday, we are called to sing and lift up our heavenly voices. If you've been around for a long time, then you know that I sing every now and then when I'm preaching, just like I just did right there. I wasn't even scripted. I didn't put it in the notes. It's because sometimes, even as I'm preaching, songs come to mind, some holy, some unholy. I got a filter in my mind that's always working through. Which one do I give right now, Lord? Let it be glorifying and edifying to you, Jesus. Please, no hip-hop from the 90s right now. Just, you know what I'm saying? Praise God, praise God. And every now and then, it's a hymn that comes to my mind. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I switched it up on y'all. But y'all knew it. There's something inside of you that recalled something that you ain't heard in 5, 10, 15, some of y'all, decades. It was embedded in you because of something that was born in you by the Spirit of God, something that was prayed into you by your mom, your grandma, your granddaddy, your great-granddaddy, and somebody you ain't never met before. It was prayed inside of you, and it sticks to you, and it holds you together in the midst of every kind of storm, in the midst of every kind of difficulty, in the midst of every kind of hardship. This is my story. This is my song. I don't know about you, but I'm praising my Savior all the day long. I don't know what you got going on at your house. I don't know if you've ever been through anything, but I know I've been through something. And so I'm going to build a choir with the people who've been through something. I'm going to build a choir with the people who've experienced some trauma in their life. I'm experiencing some difficulty. Those are the folks I want to build my choir with. If you ain't ever been with nothing, you can go over into choir somewhere else. But Cam, if you've been through something, let's make some beautiful noise together and shout to the Lord, because the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We are urged, we are commanded to sing and encourage one another together. But this last part of Psalm 96, just it confused me when I read it. It doesn't fit. Everything is about glory. Everything is about singing and rejoicing. And then verse 13 just hits you all upside the head like this. The Lord is coming. He's coming to judge the earth. Oh. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with faithfulness. The end. Can we add a little something here, psalmist, that, you know, that put this together? Can you add a little tag on it? Can you go back to the beginning, sing to the Lord a new song? Can we go back there? No, we're going to end it right here. The Lord is coming. He's coming to judge the earth, the whole world with righteousness, and his people with faithfulness. What's so exciting that we would sing and rejoice of God's judgment? Well, another way to look at it, Maddie, is to look at it through the lens of deliverance. Deliverance for the Hebrews was the story of the Exodus, when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage and out of slavery and into the promised land, where God commanded Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go so they can do what? Worship. Somebody in the Bible, somebody knows the book. Let them go so they can go worship. He didn't say let them go so they can have a party. Let them go so they can build their own houses. Let them go so they can build their own families. Let them go so they can have a nation to themselves. He said let them go so they can worship. And they were not able to worship because of the evil oppressor that had their hands on their backs. They were not able to go worship freely until God, through the prophet Moses, delivered them. And so for us, for Christians, deliverance is the story of the Exodus that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. When God became flesh, God liberated us from evil, sin, and death. Our Pharaoh was at our backs, and the Red Sea was in front of us. And through the death of Jesus Christ, his victory over everything that would cause us to fear was destroyed and annihilated, so that we could put our faith in him, so that we would not have to be afraid of any kind of difficulty, any kind of evil, any kind of turmoil, any kind of opposition. We are free to reflect the brilliance of the glory of God in our lives as we make God central and important. Here's the last point. If you're taking notes, we sing because God's glory will make everything right. Remember the main idea. We sing for the glory of God until the glory of God is fully seen. That means we don't stop singing. That means we don't stop lifting our voices. That means come. Yeah, the high waters, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm filtering. Come what may, I'm still going to sing. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the can't take it away. The world didn't give it to you. And so the world cannot take it away. Who gave you this joy? God gave you this joy. Who sealed this joy for you? Jesus sealed this joy for you. Who reminds you of the joy that you have in Jesus Christ that was given by the Father? The Holy Spirit given to you to remind you of the reason that you sing. Through any difficulty, through any hardship, through any setback, through any unexplained circumstance in your life, is because the glory of God will make everything right. Do I have any singers in the house today who can joyfully sing of the return of Jesus? Advent season is about singing about the birth of Jesus, and we know that story. We'll be singing the songs with Mary's Magnificat next week, and we'll sing with Zechariah as he sang in the temple, and the angels and the shepherds. We'll sing with all of the choirs that were singing joyful celebrations at the birth of Jesus to be reminded of this, that he's coming back again. The same way in which he left, he's going to come right back, and he's going to set everything right. There will not be a need to cry anymore. There will not be a need to study war anymore. There will not be any sickness. There will not be any pain. I will have perfect vision in Jesus' name. The glory of the Father in the Son through the Spirit is to remind us this is the reason why we sing. Because God is glorious. Because others are encouraged to see the glory of God, and because God's glory will make everything right. In the mid-90s, there was another choir director by the name of Kirk Franklin. Anybody know Kirk Franklin? Yeah, Kirk Franklin. He was just coming out. He was just coming out, just had an album come out, young man. I think he was like 21 years old when he released that first full album. And on the album was the song, Why We Sing. It goes like this. Someone asked a question. Why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering. When we sing our song, come on, Holly. At times we may be crying. And nothing's even wrong. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and that's the reason why I sing. Say that again. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and that's the reason why I sing. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He give the praises to you. We give the praises to you. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Hey, that's the reason. That's the reason why I sing. Now I can jump and bounce around like Kirk if you need me to. There is a reason why we sing. You standing in worship and you look over to the side and you see somebody that can't control themselves. There's a reason why they are singing. When you see somebody who's standing up and it looked like they're standing up all by themselves, they're standing up because they got a reason to sing. When somebody comes up here for prayer, to receive prayer, somebody's got a reason. They're bringing their song in the form of a prayer. They got a reason why they sing. And when somebody can't sit down, even after the music stops, it's because they got a reason for why they are singing. You may not know what's going on in my life, but I know what I got going on in my life. And if I praise God, don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. Ask God what God glory wants to get in your life, because I know He's getting some glory out of mine. I will sing because I'm happy. And I want the world to be happy too. I want the unsaved, the unbelieving, those who haven't seen the glory in all of its fullness to be encouraged to sing with us, to join the choir, to come up on the stage and sing the hallelujah chorus with us while we proclaim it together to the world. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Let us pray together. Heavenly and most gracious Lord, we thank you for the sound of joy that comes in the choir. Not just the soloist, not just the one who knows all the words and can sing on perfect pitch, but God, every single voice coming together. Nobody knows what's behind our song. Nobody knows the full story of what's behind our grief and our pain, our joy and our celebration. But you know, oh God, and when we sing, all of heaven opens up, the evil one in hell closes up, and the world knows that you are truly God. That's the reason why we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.